Franklin Delano Roosevelt was born on January 30, 1882, at Springwood, the majestic family mansion located in Hyde Park on the banks of the Hudson River in Dutchess County, New York. From the very first instant of his existence, the world around him was one of inherited prosperity, resonant family names, and the silent expectations that weigh upon those whom history has already marked before they can even speak. Yet he was not simply a child born into wealth. He was a child born at the intersection of two lineages that had spent centuries helping build America from its most privileged margins, weaving a network of economic, social, and moral influence that preceded him and would define him in ways he himself would take decades to fully understand. On his father's side, the Roosevelts were originally Dutch merchants who had arrived on the shores of New Amsterdam, the future city of New York, in the 17th century. The family's first documented ancestor on American soil, Claes Martens Zen van Roosevelt, settled on the island of Manhattan around 1650, bringing with him the mercantile pragmatism and characteristic tenacity of the Dutch colonists who built their fortunes brick by brick, transaction by transaction. As generations passed, the surname became anglicized, fortunes grew, and the Roosevelts branched into two family lines that, while sharing the same Dutch root, developed their own temperaments, political loyalties, and geographies. The Oyster Bay branch, on Long Island, would produce the vibrant Theodore Roosevelt, who would reach the presidency in 1901. The Hyde Park branch, in the Hudson Valley, was quieter, more contemplative, more inclined toward country life and discreet refinement. Franklin belonged to this second branch. Franklin's father, James Roosevelt, was a man who perfectly embodied the ideal of the American Victorian gentleman. Educated, serene, fond of horses, travel, and quiet business ventures that did not require too much visible effort. He was 52 years old when Franklin came into the world, the child of his second marriage, and his advanced age gave the father-son relationship a particular tone, closer to that of a benevolent grandfather than an energetic father. James Roosevelt managed investments in railroads and real estate, chaired the board of several local companies, and devoted his best energies to Springwood, the family estate of several acres where he raised horses and supervised an agricultural production that was more vocational than commercial. He was a respected man, but not powerful in the aggressive sense of the word, a man of the world who had learned that inherited fortune, if well managed, frees the individual from urgency and allows him to live with dignity and elegance, without the haste that corrodes character. Franklin's mother, Sarah Delano Roosevelt, was a figure of very different proportions. 26 years younger than her husband, Sarah was a woman of formidable will, unshakable convictions, and a devotion to her only son that moved between the protective and the possessive. She came from the Delano family, whose origins reached back to the French Huguenots who had arrived in America in the 17th century while fleeing religious persecution, and who, over time, had built a considerable fortune in maritime trade with China. Sarah's grandfather, Warren Delano Tuyu, had amassed his wealth in the tea and opium trade in Chinese ports during the first half of the 19th century, a source of prosperity the family preferred not to discuss in too much detail in social drawing rooms, but one that had given the Delanos the means to live with serene opulence and without visible effort. Sarah had therefore grown up in an atmosphere of privilege very similar to that of her future husband, and she shared with him that conviction, so characteristic of the American aristocracy of the Northeast, that fortune, name, and social position were natural gifts that carried certain duties of conduct and service. The combination of these two lineages gave Franklin an enviable social position from his very first breath. He was not merely a rich child. He was the heir to centuries of American presence, the representative of families that had sailed, traded, invested, and governed since before the Republic existed. This awareness of belonging to something older and larger than oneself would permeate his character in a way his biographers have debated for decades.